Death Delights, written by Gabriel Lord and read by Francis Greenslade. I was sorting through the second victim's clothing when my mobile rang, sounding very out of place in this rented room reeking of old food and stale sex, the grubby chenille bedspread over an iron bedstead, the dun-coloured walls, veneer and plastic wardrobe with matching chest of drawers, and the fraying Holland blind knocking against the window. I didn't answer the phone, leaving it to voicemail. I can do that these days without feeling too guilty, now that I've paid my dues and am no longer tied to the lab. I've taken leave from the Division of Forensic Services while I sort out the end of the marriage and decide what to do next. It's taking a lot of time and energy. Certainly as much as the beginning of the relationship, but without the younger hopes and dreams. At one end of the dead man's room was a sad little eating area, jars, bottles, a cheap radio, and a mouldering sliced white loaf on a checked plastic tablecloth. As my young brother Charlie, the clinical psychologist, says, you can get a lot of information about how a person is on the inside by noticing what they create around them on the outside. So I stood there, letting the surroundings speak to me of the desolate individual who had lived there. Nesbitt's room was like an extension of the crime scene. Every little thing an investigator can learn about the victim is helpful. If I hadn't already known why they'd locked Ernest Leslie Nesbitt up, I might have been thinking, poor bastard and only just out of jail. But I knew that the pile of Bambino magazines beside the bed and the Kmart catalogue with its photographs of pubescent kids in their knickers wasn't because of his interest in fashion. I'd already pulled on my gloves, lifted his suitcase onto the bed, and started sorting through his belongings before the phone rang. The investigating police had been through all his stuff already, and it was now up to his next of kin to claim it, or the landlord to dump it. But my partner in the old days, Bob Edwards in Homicide, hoped I might notice something everyone else had missed. I thought it was unlikely. A couple of T-shirts, one white shirt, some trousers, shorts, underpants and singlets in a greyish pile, socks, a book on the Northern Territory, a Bible, a framed and tinted 1950s photographic portrait of a woman I guessed to be his mother, some very basic toiletries, some references. Nesbitt had both front-end loader and C-class licences, claim forms for special benefits papers from the Department of Social Security, a pack of playing cards.